Welcome to the International Conference of Secular AA Europe. This recording was June 19th, 2021. Two Zoom rooms, 12 hours in each room.
And yeah, Joe's going to talk about the impact of secular AA thanks to COVID. So how it grew, how people found out about it. And yeah, Joe was a lovely, lovely man who celebrated 44 years sober last year. Sometimes you don't know you're even reading his book. And I'll post that in the chat as well. Joe, take as long as you need, sir. Always great seeing you, hearing you. And the rest of you, stay on mute.
My name's Joe and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, so that's a great topic. I love AA service. I'm involved with mainstream AA on a number of different levels. I love the whole recovery community well beyond AA. There's plenty of peer-to-peer groups that I go to. Some of them are for process addictions. Some of them are for our problems dealing with people. Some of them are for alcoholism. And I've been in AA for quite some time and seen a number of personality changes in the program. And I always pay attention to something called Box 459. It comes out of the General Service Office. And they do a little tally every year of how many groups there are in the US and in Canada and international and in prisons and how many members there are in each of these places, and take a look at those and sort of compare them year over year. It tells you some things. And when you compare them decade over decade, it tells you some things. It isn't a very super accurate and scientific means of determining exactly how many members there are in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's guaranteed to be too high or too low. There's no way it's ever exactly right, but using it as a measure to compare sort of year over year or decade over decade, it's the same flawed system. So it gives you a sense of things. And what your experience is anecdotally is probably as good a measure as anything in terms of, has your home group grown or shrunk since you joined it? You probably have a good sense of how things are going. But in the fifth edition of the big book, the first foreword, it said something about how it's the 21st century now, because it was written in the year 2001. And it's the 21st century now, and it's the technological age, it's the age of the internet. And whether meetings are face-to-face or modem-to-modem is all the same. That's just a medium. It's still AA. Some people, a lot of people in AA, really disagreed with that statement. And they actually petitioned the General Service Office through speaking to their General Service rep and going to their area to remove that as a, just cut that out. That can't possibly be true because, you know, nothing replaces face-to-face meetings. Anything else would be second rate. And it's not because they knew that was true. That was the feeling of AA. They expressed that to the General Service Conference, and the General Service Conference took it out. If I knew I was going to be talking about this, I would have brought you my copy of the 2001 first printing of the fifth edition of the Big Book, where it talks about this, and you could compare it to your copy, and you could see that there's a whole sentence missing. But this year, that theory, that idea that face-to-face is better, or Zoom is better, or they're both the same, got tested because of COVID. We're living in the millennial world now, not the baby boomer world. We got a chance to test that. And AA from January 2020 to January 2021 grew 60,000 members. Some left, some came, but the net increase was 60,000 more AA members in a fellowship that's largely stayed about the same since the 1990s, right around the 2 million mark. So the question of whether this is the best way to do AA hasn't been answered. Whether it's everybody's favorite way to do AA, that hasn't been answered. But whether this is a means of carrying the message to the still suffering alcoholic has been answered, because in a time when more people are drinking than ever before during this pandemic, more people are also finding recovery in AA. I'm just reporting what I've read, and I'm offering just one person's opinion about what that might mean. When you look at AA over, like, since the beginning, since that fifth edition came out at the beginning of the century, AA is growing in some places and shrinking in other places. In the United States of America, AA is bigger than it was in the year 2000. In Canada, the AA membership is down double-digit numbers. And in internationally, Europe and the rest of the world, it's also down. There are fewer AA members in the rest of the world than there was at the beginning of the century. I'm not going to speculate on why that is, whether they've migrated to other 12-step fellowships or other non-12-step fellowships, because there's so many more to choose from. But it's growing some places and not so in other places. So where you're most likely to hear, it ain't broke, don't fix it, that's probably someone whose group is bigger than it was when they joined it in 1990 and doesn't think anything needs improving. And the person who expressed the concern might be someone who joined a group that had 300 members, and now, they struggle to keep their two dozen regulars together because AA has some regional differences. In secular AA, for a long time, we sort of measured how many groups there were. And when it was face-to-face, originally New York Agnostics kept a world list, which they posted. And we had a record of how many there were in like 1997 when they started, and how much it increased. And at the turn of the century, there were under 50 secular AA meetings that we knew of. There's plenty of AA meetings that you could call them secular. They just don't identify that way. They might not pray. They might not read our Holy Writ. They might read something else. They might just be a discussion meeting where they don't read any steps of any description, or they just go around the room and share, or someone tells their story. I got sober in an AA that was largely speaker meetings. There wasn't much in the terms of book study meetings where I got sober and when I got sober. That doesn't mean that wasn't the way they ran meetings in another town or another city at the very same time. When I compare notes with people, their AA is different. And I moved from Montreal, Quebec, where I got sober. It was speaker meetings. My sobriety really came from the meeting after the meeting, the drive to the meeting. I heard somebody say, who was involved in AA service in Canada, actually, he observed at the last General Service Conference that the difference, and this was just before the pandemic broke, the difference is back at when he got sober, maybe 30 years ago, when you saw 40 cars in the parking lot, there'd be 160 people in the AA meeting. And now when you see 40 cars in the parking lot, there's 40 people in the AA meeting, right? Like, people are, just sort of on their own. There isn't a lot of that going out to the bar to pick up the person who phoned central office to get them sober. Most people are arriving at AA a month sober, detoxed. They treatment and they got this whole new language that they're using. And so it's different. Better? I don't think so. Just different. And so secular AA has grown dramatically, where when the pandemic started, we had about 600 atheist agnostic meetings worldwide that we had records of. That is up from under 50 at the turn of the century. So in a fellowship that's pretty much flat, we were growing. What are the things that contributed to that? A more secular society, perhaps. Again, I study people who study demographics, but I'm not a demographer. But America has less than 50% of people now who identify as being a member of a church. That was first time ever. Maybe that's just because of the pandemic, and when the pandemic's over, they'll go back to their church. But everywhere is less religious. And when I say everywhere, yes, there are pockets of places that are uber religious, just like there are pockets of AA that are very traditional, very fundamentalist, very by the book, and other parts of AA that get along quite fine without even having AA literature as part of their format. So secular AA seems to be growing, but is that just in accordance with growing secular population and there's a greater demand of people coming in? Is that because people in AA are changing? I don't know, but I can tell you we're larger than we were before. A lot of it had to do with the first ever secular AA conference, which happened in 2014, because there was about 150 members then, and that's only 7 years ago, 150 groups then, and now there's, check the spreadsheet. And the spreadsheet doesn't have them all, but, I think there's over 400, weekly meetings or something like that. I think we're doing great. I think we can do better. Right. One of the things I find our group, and I'll just tell you about our Toronto Beyond Belief group, we talk about how can we do the meeting before the meeting and the meeting after the meeting better? Because we used to meet up with people for coffee before, or we used to go play pool after, or go see a concert, or go watch the game, or just sit around and have coffee with people who just needed someone to babysit them until the liquor store closed. And we would do all that. And how do we do that in a Zoom world? And we've kind of changed the way we do things to try to recreate that. We know there are people in our own home group who were regulars in the face-to-face meeting in the University of Toronto classroom. We rarely see them. They work on the computer all day. They have no interest in spending another hour for their recovery. They're doing something else. Maybe they're listening to podcasts. Maybe they're getting by on literature, or they banked enough sobriety that their recovery is self-sustaining. So I don't think this is better, and we should never go back to face-to-face groups, but this does satisfy a need that won't go away. This day was a bunch of firsts. There's never been an international Greek meeting of secular AA, or Polish or French, and those firsts happened today. There's never been an international BIPOC meeting, a Black, Indigenous, People of Color secular meeting. We had one of those today. The Polish meeting had a translator, so people were English and Polish, and it was translated. The next time we do this, and I'm sure there will be a next time, maybe we'll translate into several languages and have signing as well for people who are deaf. And those are all things I see as being easy to accommodate, and I'm sure we will. So I'm going to kind of open it up to the floor, because people have been doing a lot of sitting, and I want to get other people's lips a flapping. But what I've seen from my own perspective is we're doing a good job, but we're not getting everybody sober. Honestly, if the big book meeting was getting everybody sober, that's how I'd want to run my home group. But they're not. And our group isn't getting every member sober. So there's people falling through the cracks, right? Nobody's found the perfect way to run a meeting that satisfies the needs of every alcoholic that walks through our doors. So we're still I'm still a humble member trying to find a better way of doing things, trying to bring a beginner's mind to, as opposed to, well, in my day, blah, blah, blah. In my day, phones were attached to the wall, right? And you found out where AA meetings were in the yellow pages. And half of you don't even know what a yellow pages is, and nor should you. So forget about my day, right? I'm more interested in how AA is going to be in another 5 years from now, because we've changed a lot since the last 5 years. So I think we should all be open to change, looking for what's going on. But I just, Mark asked me to talk about secular AA in the era of Zoom. I see it growing and accommodating all kinds of niche markets. Some of these were done for the first time today. I think that will carry on, and I think that's fantastic. And there was a debate I just walked into when I got here, and nobody's wrong, right? Like I say, those traditionalist meetings are getting people sober. Some people crave order and discipline and someone to tell them what to do, and that's going to work for them. I never went to treatment because I'm sure I would. I'm so nonconformist. I would have broken a rule and been kicked out of the treatment center. I got sober coming to AA meetings and sitting in the back of the cars of AA members. And I can tell you what I did. I can't tell you why it worked for me. That's all I can say. And I'd love to hear from everybody as we wrap up this day, what we could do to alter or improve this whole sort of Zoomosphere, and what you like best about it, what you miss, or whatever else it is. Thanks for having me at the end of the day, Mark. I'm amazed you're all still here. I expected it to be me and Mark talking about football. No, it's called soccer. No, it's called football. You're all here, and I'm delighted to see you, and thanks for sharing some time with me. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. I'm not starting that argument again, which you saw. You're fucking bright. Yeah, soccer. Excellent as always, sir. Great to see you. And yeah, if you haven't seen Joe, you're just not doing enough meetings. Beyond belief is a lot of the week. Thursdays, Mondays, they do a step study with Jeffrey Munn's book. They have a great Queen Street Nooner on Tuesday. All over the place. On Saturday, they then do a 5-topic meeting at 7 p.m. their time, 12 o'clock. Raise your hands and, add in your 2 cents how secular has grown, if you found out about it just because of COVID, whatever way. And thank you again, Joe. Always great to see you, hear you. One of a kind. Imagine if there was two of him, huh? Fuck.
Kenji knows one is more than enough.
I imagine so. Lou, you've got your hand up, sir.
I have been so thrilled looking forward to today, and me being an alcoholic and not thinking too straight sometimes, I put the times down and realized that I was looking at them as Eastern Daylight Time instead of UK time, and missed like 2 or 3 meetings this morning that I was asleep when they went on. So next year, I'm going to do a better job of that. I first knew Joe from his book. It was the first secular AA literature that I bought after I found sobriety about 6 years ago. And then several months ago, a friend of his, and now a friend of mine, Will I Am, started a secular Zoom meeting based in Cincinnati, but really at least North America-wide, if not farther along. And it has opened up a whole new world to me. I'm now going to 3 or 4 Canadian meetings a week. I've already made some really good friends through this. The joy for me is that I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio, and there's a famous Mark Twain quote about when the world ends, it will end in Cincinnati 10 years later. And that's true of AA. It's at least 10 years behind, if not a whole century. The change in wording in the preamble, which I just embrace so much because it's so inclusive. And there's already a furious storm going on in meetings here about how can they do that? It's not AA if it's not men and women. So I'm glad to be in the world where it's people. And thank you again for all of the work that went into having this happen today. God bless you all.
Kenji.
Hi, everyone. Kenji, I'm an addict and alcoholic here in Northern California. It's been an amazing day. So I showed up this morning for the women's meeting and stayed in that room for the BIPOC meeting, which was, both those meetings were amazing. And then I switched over to the other room and I've been here all day since. And and it's been so now in my seventh hour of continuous meetings. And after this meeting, I'll take a break for an hour and then be co-hosting at Beyond Belief Toronto with Joe. It's awesome. I'm so happy I'm spending these 7 hours in my comfy desk chair in front of my, as you see behind me here, my two immersive screens instead of sitting in some miserable metal folding chair in some room, worrying about whether somebody's breaking into my car outside or I'm getting a ticket for expired meter. It's been a fantastic day. The guy that was kind of arguing at the beginning of this meeting is somebody I know from my home group, my old local home group. And I have written several resentment pages about that guy, talked to him with several sponsors. So that was a fascinating moment there. I think he got mad and stormed out. So that was a fascinating, like two worlds colliding there for a moment. I've actually stormed out of meetings because of him, walked around the block and then came back. And fascinating. This has been an amazing day and I absolutely love it. For me, secular AA on Zoom is just amazing. And for me personally, it's way better because it's connected me to this worldwide fellowship that just wouldn't be here. I mean, there are some secular meetings around where I live, but I haven't been very attracted to them. They don't really, maybe they'll be different after the Zoom thing. Maybe they will grow and expand, but they're more of the angry atheist variety than the expansive, loving, connected nature of what I've experienced on Zoom. I've realized today that I really need to check out. So I go to meetings in Toronto, London, Stonehenge, and Studio City are my main meetings. I go to about 14 meetings a week on average. This week, the average will be a lot higher, obviously. I'm realizing that I need to expand and check out Tooth Newer and Westside Agnostics in Cleveland too, because those are groups that I haven't had a lot of exposure to. So many meetings, so little time. Thank you.
And Kenji, Salem, please.
Hi, I'm Salem. I'm an addict from Toronto. Joe, we are you are one of the coolest people in the whole 12-step universe. We're very proud of you here. There is no question for me about Zoom. Without taking anything away from the people who have a particular love for the in-person meetings and so forth, and they will come back, and hybrid meetings are starting to come back and so forth. But for the people who are anxious that Zoom won't continue, don't worry. It has absolutely been transformative. I'm following a little, it's not crosstalk, but I realize I'm echoing a little bit what has been said, but it is just absolutely remarkable to be able to join a meeting practically. I mean, you can't always get the secular meeting, but you can, when you need a meeting, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, you can get a meeting. The diversity within those meetings is amazing. Their specialization within some of the meetings, I belong also to another fellowship, and there are specialized groups, which even in my large city didn't exist. And speaking of large city, I mean, you know, Joe and I are Toronto. There's people from San Francisco, Cincinnati. We're in fairly big cities. Many, many people, millions of people are not in those kinds of places. And they face significant challenges to get to a regional meeting, you know, driving, winter, whatever. So Zoom has been remarkable from that point of view. And I'll say one more thing. It has opened me to the idea of cross fellowship. I had a friend who encouraged me to check out emotional sobriety, and I've gone to places where I don't necessarily even share the addiction of many of the people participating. It does not matter. It does not matter. The fellowship extends to all, I believe, this is me, who identify as addicted. And that is an amazing feeling. I mean, for me, fellowship was the higher power. And Zoom has, what Zoom has done for fellowship, for access, is just indescribable. So I think it won't go away. I think, you know, in this global tragedy of COVID, it is the godsend that came within the tragedy. I just feel it has been absolutely a game changer for 12-step across the board. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Salem. Bobby Kay.
Hey, everyone. My name is Bobby. I didn't drink today and I desire to drink today. It's been a great day. I missed half it because of sleeping. But what I got, I enjoyed. Joe, it was great listening to you, as always. You know, just like to say that you have been a great help in my recovery with your book and hosting meetings and helping out with Higher Palooza. So, you know, I'd like to thank you for that, first of all. When I stopped drinking and I was pissing and moaning about AA to my support worker, she asked me about online meetings to get a variety of different localities and how things are different. But, you know, at the time I hated AA. So, you know, you can take even taking the religion out or the spirituality, I still have the mindset that, yeah, but it's still AA. And, you know, I still wrestle with that sometimes. You know, I suppose I've just gotten better at taking what I want to leave the rest. But when it came to online meetings, she asked me about that. I said no. And not that I was against them. It was unfamiliar to me. And, you know, and the whole AA thing. I could have tried it with other things as well. Partly just wanted to do things on my own for a bit. But it was a good thing in retrospect, not going on online, because they're so fucking addictive. You know, I got really hooked on Zoom meetings, traditional and secular, you know. And in early days of not drinking, early years, you know, it was very easy for me to sit down, shut up and listen, you know, and hide in that room. So, you know, I got to build up a sense of responsibility and self-mastery. And then when I came back to the meetings, I found them a lot more enjoyable. I was a bit more self-assured and know what to do with myself. And, you know, not take on so much of people's stuff. And secular AA particularly has helped me give me that voice to do that publicly, you know. And it wouldn't have been possible without Zoom. I don't know, like, I want to set up a meeting myself locally, and I think it'd be quite helpful. But part of me wants to fucking not do it as well, and I'm thinking about a lot of what ifs, and really it's not a major commitment. I just try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, or someone can take over or whatever, you know. The thing about, I've noticed in faith personally though, is people are a bit more daring and riskier, and I think that's a part to do with actually being online as a whole, because it's easier to take risks when I'm here talking than I'm face to face. And you know, I noticed that in traditional AA as well, more people were talking about God in traditional, you know, online, where in Ireland it's kind of like, oh, you have a higher power and it's personal, like, ooh, we won't go there. You know, but when they started going to online meetings, I seen the God aspect really come out. And then for me, in secular, I felt like I could take more risks you know. So now I'm able to do that more, that risk-taking, speaking my own truth in a traditional meeting. And, you know, when I look around me, people aren't that annoyed. A lot of my stuff was fear around my own timidness and what people would think about me, you know. Although there was fundamentalists, which I didn't like, and the majority of people were still pretty accepted. So it's been very, very helpful. And, you know, I'm grateful for it. Asked me that a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have told you to where to go. So yeah, I'll share the time. Thanks.
Thanks, Bobby. William?
Hey, thanks for hosting, Mark. Thank you all for being here. What a great day. I've been able to hit some meetings on both sides of the water, as it were. Joe, as usual, always a pleasure. If you haven't, if you're not familiar with Joe, beyond his book, he's got a great blog and podcast called Rebellion Dogs. And if you need more Joe, and I think we all do, you could check it out. I'll put it in the chat. Joe hosted the very first secular meeting I ever attended in Toronto 6 years ago. And I'll be forever grateful that I walked into that room, not planning on going. I didn't know what meeting I was walking into, quite frankly. And there I lucked out. It was like finding a pot of gold. I moved away from Toronto, got to Cincinnati, where there really wasn't much of a secular presence. And but I found some sobriety there in traditional AA and some people there that I will forever be connected to and be grateful for. Moved away again, ended up in British Columbia, where I am now. And I am a garden variety, grateful alcoholic here in Canada. But through Zoom, as this is topic is kind of about, I was able to reconnect with those two groups, the Beyond Belief Toronto group and my Cincinnati group, and then start the Beyond Belief Cincy group with some help from a couple of other folks. What a transformative experience. And like Salem was talking about, we can't unsee this now. We can't unknow what's happened. There's no going back to normal is a cop out. It's not the way forward. The way forward is to take what we've learned in this past year and a half and move with it and grow with it. And to Joe's points, expand on what's possible with it. I went to my first in-person meeting here locally. None of the groups in this small area of the East Kootenays in British Columbia really took to Zoom, which I was disappointed at, because you know you're in a community, you'd like to be able to have some FaceTime with some folks. I wasn't in any mood to go to any in-person meetings until I thought the other day I'd try one. It was an interesting experience. The faces in the room were the same. The meeting hadn't grown, maybe a few less. And I thought to myself, and it was an okay, good meeting. What was being said, what was being shared sounded just, you know, second verse, same as the first to me. I've heard this all before. It's not to say I won't go back. I'd really like to connect with some people in recovery locally here. But I will weigh my time, my recovery time, much more towards the Zoom meetings than I will the in-person meetings, because for everything that's been said already, including what Kenji said, I can just be more efficient with my recovery time. And so why wouldn't I be? In fact, I know my recovery is in a better place than it was before the pandemic. So silver lining out of this whole thing, I suppose. But grateful for this conference today, looking forward to Washington in the end of October. My hotel room is booked. And so I hope many of you can be there. Hopefully we'll be able to all get there in person and have a hybrid version of it too for those who can't make it. And with that, I'll share some time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, William. Janice.
Hey, I'm Janice. I'm an alcoholic, or as somebody says in one of the meetings I go to, I'm just another bozo on the bus. I think that's important. One of my favorite sayings from traditional AA is Rule 62. Don't take yourself so damn seriously. Comes out of the 12 and 12. So I've gone back to personal meetings here, mainly because I heard somebody saying I was having trouble with the idea. And somebody said, well, I want to go back and see the people because I like the people. And I thought, well, okay, let's see. So except for my home group, which is a big book study and is the most liberal group I go to here, they do not care. They like to, I've talked about secular AA and stuff, but they don't care. And I've decided it's because they've got solid sobriety and they've got what they believe in, and it doesn't matter to them what anybody else believes in. I mean, they've always known I was an atheist. After I got sober in South Texas, and that's Southern Baptist country. But after 18 months, I'm squawked out up about not having a God with a big G, and nobody threw me out of the room, so I continue to squawk up, particularly when it gets really gaudy and when I don't want a newcomer to come in and walk out the door. I think the only reason I didn't walk out the door, A, I was desperate, B, I got the time for one side of the street and the location for the other, and I got in time to hear people's shares and I could identify and felt at home. I didn't, it was the next meeting before I heard all the God stuff. And in reality, I expected New Mexico to be better than Texas when it came to religion, and it's not. I have more problems here than I had in South Texas, which I think is funny. I mean, I got told all you have to do is be willing to believe in something bigger than yourself. I mean, nobody said you got to have a God. Well, my third sponsor did, but I had people to talk to by then. Going back is going to be interesting. I have been told that you make people uncomfortable, tough. I'm not going to tell somebody that believes in God that I think that's hooey, because I do. But I don't have the right to say that to them. They, on the other hand, do not have the right to tell me that I have to believe. There's one meeting for sure that I'm out of, because when I mentioned secular AA, I got told it couldn't possibly exist and GSO wouldn't recognize it. And the chairperson was so angry they wouldn't even talk, and that was a Zoom meeting, and I left about halfway through and I haven't been back. It's interesting. I like being at personal meetings because it was nice to be able, and particularly my home group, to hug people again. But I love secular AA, and it's mostly going to be here online. I think I'm going to try to combine with somebody who has a meeting out of Santa Fe and see if we can't extend it a bit. It's already on Zoom and keep it there. I'm going to be talking to her, I think, in the next week or so. Because I think if I try to start one here myself, I don't think there's going to be enough people. I may be wrong. But I'm going to try, I'm going to test the waters, hopefully, that way. Anyway, that's all I've got. Thanks, Joe. That was great. You're always great. And that's all I've got.
Thanks, Janice. Erica.
Hi, can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Joe. Apparently there's a new, all the little secular baby mushroom meetings that are springing up back in my old hometown of Brooklyn, New York, as an antidote to the Holy Roller cock-a-doodle-doo meeting. New group has been formed, and it is Beyond Belief that is the text. So that's great to see. And I appreciated all the statistics. I guess what I wanted to say, like along the lines of COVID having some kind of silver lining, for me, I'm going to borrow some acronyms from the old school book, because, I do a take what you like and leave the rest, principles before personalities. And there are certain, gems, as addicts, we can all have a case of the RIDS, restless, irritable, and discontent. There's no, that's, you know, along the lines of emotional sobriety, but man, two Novembers ago at 28 years sober, I was so disgusted with traditional Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was too busy and lazy to seek out secular meetings. And then everyone's life changed and my life changed. I put a huge, I did a mass migration. I needed to, you know, in life, sometimes you need to just make a change before your change is thrust upon you that you might not like. And it's all been positive, but the silver lining has been the Zoom meetings, and then ultimately finding, you know, I've been going to the She Devils and have met some great gals there, and they put me in touch with the spreadsheet, the matrix, and I am having a great time getting to know people. But, you know, just going a little deeper than that, you know, a big, I've said it many times, you know, sort of the, throughout the year, you know, in secular meetings, I can be grateful and grumpy. And chances are, you know, like it is true. If I'm grateful, I'm having maybe a little less chance at picking up a drink. So I always want to remember the gratitude, but I want to be my authentic self. And if I feel like crying my eyes out or whacking the side of a house with a, well, my own house with a baseball bat, you know, I need to do that and pay the consequences on the other hand. So I'm so appreciative of finding, you know, like-minded people. And even within this context, I've found that we can agree not to disagree. And, you know, and occasionally, you know, someone comes in from the other side, the other alternate universe, and it's like ammonia meeting Clorox. You know, it's not better living through chemistry. It's explosive, because true believers, there's a lot of ego attached to it. And I have to be really careful about how tightly I'm holding on to beliefs. And I find that in so much of human society, there's, and particularly with religion, there's a place where you sort of have to suspend disbelief. And that's where I get lost. I mean, that's where they lose me. I'm just filled with gratitude because I was not going in a good direction with my recovery. I had a lot of recovery in the bank, and I was making too many withdrawals without putting more in. And I have really, this has enabled me to really travel. So just a lot of gratitude, and thanks for this convention. I pass.
Thank you, Erica. Jeff S.
Hey, I'm Jeff S. from California. Joe, thank you for your talk today. I've heard you a couple of times and go to a couple of your meetings. So I really like you and the book in particular. I try to share it with people and other people that I know that are maybe not in secular, but I think there's some a lot of good stuff in there. Hey, I was thinking earlier today, you know, about how, I mean, and it sort of coincided with your talk there about how's the demographics of AA changing, particularly with secular. I walked into my first secular meeting probably 4 years ago just by mistake, because I was looking for a meeting close to my house. Well, it was a mistake. I walked in there, but I didn't know it was a secular meeting. Let's put it that way. And it's godless was mean, and I loved it. And they actually had another meeting close to my house on Monday. So I've been going to those all along. And but we've noticed that particularly after they put the link in the or got the link in that spreadsheet. that the numbers went up. I mean, dramatically. One meeting was like a small meeting. I mean, we five people, six people in a meeting on Monday. But I mean, it's been up to 40 people there, or maybe 50. I don't know. I haven't been counting. But and most a lot of these are young people. So that's the other thing I was thinking about. How do you get the young people involved? And I don't know. I was in a rehab center back in October, and there was a guy. Actually, he was in there before me, but he's probably, I'm not sure how old he is. Maybe 29. He's in that group, and he doesn't want to go to meetings. He wants to go to, you know, play basketball with the buddies or go dinner with his buddies after work. And they all use. So we keep on telling him, that's not a good idea, guy. So I just want to put the point that I'm not a young guy, but are there young secular meetings around? I don't know. I really looked to see if there were, but I was just thinking about that earlier today. And I think that's an opportunity, because what we see a lot of young people new, and I know I do go to a couple mainstream meetings or traditional. They have young people group, and there's one that's sort of like a pseudo young people group that I go to that I really like. And they're always into socializing, and now that the thing is up, I mean that the COVID constraints are lifted, there's a lot more of that happening. So that's it for me today. Thank you, and this is a great meeting, great conference. I'm glad I came.
It's all my hard work, Mike B. Thank you, Jeff.
Hi, everybody. Mike, alcoholic. Thanks, Mark, and thanks, Joe. Joe gave me my one-year chip on July 2019 in one of those OISE rooms, those dingy rooms that we staggered in and out of. So without Beyond Belief, without secular in general, I wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be on the planet, I think. So they were very instrumental in my recovery. And the sessions today have been fantastic. I've gotten so much different information about things that, you know, there's some meetings I can't go to. I can't go to a women's meeting, but I can hear kind of what some of their challenges and some of the things that they've accomplished are today, which was great to hear. Same with, there's people of color. A lot of times I don't encounter them in different meetings. And the question is always why. I've always wondered that about OISE. Why weren't they showing up there? And I know we've talked about it in the group as well. So getting all that kind of diversity of information today has been fantastic. I'm a big advocate for going to different meetings, even if you don't qualify, because they really don't check at the door to see if you do or not. When I was in rehab, we had like a month of meetings of kicking around Bloor Street here in Toronto. And some people would just go to the same meeting every week for the whole month. And that was too boring for me. I wanted to check out the cocaine meeting and the narcotics meeting and the different meetings that were going on. The only thing I couldn't take in was the secular meeting because it wasn't in the book at the time. But thankfully that's been rectified. I think you get so much different viewpoints. We're all suffering with something, right? And sometimes you get some great insights from people with different kinds of addictions. So it doesn't always have to be kind of the booze cruise. You can get just as much out of other addictions and people and that suffer from those. The stats thing, I don't know how much to play into that because it's easy to measure Zoom stats. Not so easy to measure how many people are staggering in and out of rooms. It's good that we can get more good numbers out of that. You know, it's always a debate as to whether it's going up or going down. Secular versus traditional thing. You know, I too have felt that they bug me, right? And that it's hard to get past a lot of the real God type stuff. But what I found is it's very beneficial for me as a representative from secular to speak at a traditional meeting. Make it known in a tactful way that what your beliefs are. And what I found has been very positive. I found that there are a lot of closet secular people in the traditional meetings that don't, so you get those kinds of people coming up. And sometimes you get into some really nice conversations with people and they get to see our point of view and we get to present it in a way that, you know, they don't encounter because they're all amongst their own clan at that time. So I've heard three, you know, different viewpoints in terms of face-to-face or keeping Zoom going. There's some that desperately want to get back to face-to-face. They want the coffee afterwards or the hugging and all that. And, you know, I get that. There's a lot of people that want to stay in Zoom because they don't want to commute or they can, they don't have to deal with a small town where everybody knows who they are and they're kind of reserved about sharing what's really on their mind. Or there's some that want to do both. And you know, I'm definitely in that camp. I think the advantage for newcomers is that they don't have that daunting experience of coming into a room filled with a bunch of people that they've never seen before. That's a big step for a lot of people to take to come over that threshold. To do it digitally without your camera on or whatever, and to leave whenever you feel like it, is a lot easier for a newcomer, as in my experience. And you can also sample a lot of different things and find the ones that are right for you. The cons I find is that I'm not encountering a lot of the older people that maybe aren't technically savvy. So I wonder what happened to them, the people that I run into the rooms. I can't pick up on nonverbal cues of people in the rooms. I don't get that personal connection with people, as personal as it can be in a face-to-face. So anyway, those are my thoughts, but excellent session, and big kudos to everybody that participated today. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Suzanne.
Hi, everybody. I'm Susan from Manhattan. I'm so happy to see you all. I only wanted to raise my hand because I want you to know that somebody started the very, very first, to my knowledge, Marijuana Anonymous secular meeting. And now we have one. They finally started one and it exists. And I'm sure it exists as a direct result of these AA meetings becoming so widespread and well-known and popular. I just thought that was just a miraculous thing, and I just wanted to share that. I didn't know there was such a thing as agnostic meetings. I was in the program more than 21 years in regular meetings and took what I needed and left the rest, and I found you all through Zoom. And I'm just so grateful. It's amazing what you've done. And now we have one MA meeting, maybe one day more, but so far at least one. So I just think it's wonderful. I just think it's miraculous. And thank you for everything you've done. I'm so grateful to have found agnostic meetings. And that's it. I just wanted to tell you that and share my gratitude and say hello. Thank you.
Awesome. Definitely take a hit of that. Don K.
Thanks, Mark. And thanks, Joe. I'm Don. I'm alcoholic in recovery. And it's been some day. It's been quite a day. And this was a great, great meeting to finish it up. And I think I saw history in the making right here at the beginning of the meeting. It's fantastic to see, was it Ed was his name, to see him leave and Kenji stay. that's really turning things around. Yeah. I'm really grateful that I found secular AA. I found it about 5.5, maybe nearly 6 years ago now. And I was visiting London, and I was in a south east London, a place called Brixton. You might all have heard of. And I was looking at the Where to Find book, and I saw this secular meeting in Islington. Now, it was a long way away, and it wasn't so easy to find, and it was much easier. You know, the path of least resistance was to go to meetings in Brixton and Clapham, and I've a bike there, and my sister lives there, and I cycle to the meetings when I'm there, and it was easier to go to them. But I kept thinking about this atheist meeting, because I'd been atheist since I was 16 years old, and I was 35 years in AA at that stage. So anyway, one day I took it into my head, and I left Brixton at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and made my way to find Islington, which I did. And it really has, you know, it has changed my life completely. And it changed my sobriety. It has given me a freedom that I never really had in regular AA, you know. And today was wonderful, you know. I'm still learning a lot of things. There's a thing I was reading about called the availability heuristic. It's a guy called Daniel Kahneman that writes about, you know, humans and how we interact and how we make decisions and stuff. And we make decisions on that kind of based on what's available to us. And if you're a regular member of AA, all that's available to you really is more and more of the same stuff, you know, and they're stuck back in the 30s and 40s, and it's not going to be easy to change them. And I listened to Jeffrey Munn tonight talking. He was asked a question like that, and he said that really all we can hope for is that this branch of AA grows and grows until this becomes the mainstream. You know, it's going to take time. But all I do at my local meetings, I make it known to the people who I know would understand that I'm atheist, and the people I feel wouldn't understand, I just don't bother. You know, I leave it. And they'll probably hear it through the other ones that I tell. And it's interesting, you know, but I don't have anything confrontational with them, you know. For one thing, I'm not able for confrontation myself. I'm not good at it. I get angry too easily. And I don't want that to have to happen. This is fantastic, you know. The only problem I have now is that, like, I've left my wife on her own nearly all day because I've been in the room here at the meetings. She's out there baking. I'm becoming more and more like a Buddha to look at now since this lockdown. So I'm going to have to mix it with a bit of exercise. Thanks again, John. Thanks, Mark.
Awesome as always. Give Mary a kiss from me. Thank you, Don, for your friendship. Right, there's no more hands. And so normally I throw it back to Joe to see if there's any finishing remarks. What up, Dave? Is that Dave?
Yeah, there's one hand up, Katie. Yeah.
Yep.
You see that? Sorry, yeah. Go ahead, Lovie. I didn't see that.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Katie, and I'm an alcoholic. And thank you for changing my name. I'm Mark. I'm using my husband's Chromebook. And this is actually the first secular meeting I've been to. I've only been able to tune in. I was a bit late, I'm sorry, for this meeting because of work and other commitments. And it's been really interesting. A little while back, my sponsor suggested I do my steps again, and she gave me Staying Sober Without God book. It's really amazing. It's really powerful. And I'm sorry I wasn't able to hear more of the meetings today, but I hope to hear more. Keep an open mind, but I heard just what I needed to hear today. I went to a business meeting of my home group, which is in Florida, and my friend and I had both kind of said how uncomfortable we were feeling about the fact that, you know, they always say the Lord's Prayer, and one time we had seven Muslims at the meeting, and, you know, they just said, well, we'll make a note of it. And then somebody said, well, nobody seems to mind, you know, all the Jewish people we have at the meeting don't seem to mind. And I just felt like saying, well, have you asked them all individually, you know? I mean, and I just came away thinking, goodness me, it's just that kind of lack of awareness of others that is just truly astounding, really, that we're not all the same. We're different. So I think I heard what I needed to hear today. And thank you, Joe, for what I heard of your share. So I'm going to keep an open mind. Thank you very much for having me.
Beautiful to hear you, Katie. Thanks for taking the time. Sorry, I didn't see your hand, my dear. Is that everyone? We're all good. Apologies again. Joe, hand it back to you. Any final remarks or whatever you'd like to know?
If you just are the type of person that can't get enough, as Kenji mentioned, we're opening up the doors to Beyond Belief Agnostics and Freethinkers in 1 hour for our regular Saturday night meeting. And if you don't come, we won't think you're not a good sport. It's been a great day. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, stop the recording. Joe, thank you for your time. Everyone else for participating.